Hallelujah.
Praise
the Bible tells us that when Jesus passed by blind Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus and he cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus got to where he was and said, bring him up to me. So they got Bartimaeus and said, he calleth thee. And they took him to Jesus. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus touched his eyes and said, thy faith hath made thee whole. He received his sight. And it was glorious because Jesus passed by. Okay? Then there was the woman who heard about Jesus. She had been hemorrhaging for 12 long years. And when she heard it was Jesus, she said, I want to go and get a miracle. If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. Then she pressed through that crowd and touched him and was healed. The Bible says her flow of blood stopped. And she felt in her body that she was healed of a plague. And you remember the story. Jesus said, who touched me? He said, I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. So there was virtue in Jesus, right? There was healing power in Jesus. Now, what made Jesus different? Until he was 30 years old, we didn't read of any miracle. No healing miracle that we read of. No one took place until Jesus was 30 years old. Now, it wasn't the age. It was because when he was 30, he received the Holy Ghost. And so, until he received the Holy Ghost, there was no miracle. No healing miracle. Because there was no healing virtue. Praise God. The Holy Spirit brought the healing virtue to Jesus. That was God's plan. That was God's plan. The Holy Spirit brought the healing virtue to Jesus. You remember the 5th chapter in Luke's gospel when you read somewhere around the 17th verse. And down the Bible tells us that on a certain day as he was teaching, it says the Pharisees and doctors of the law were gathered together from all the towns around Jerusalem. They came from far and near. And they came to listen to Jesus. Then it says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. The power of the Lord was present to heal. Now that's important because the Holy Spirit notified us that in that particular meeting, the power of the Lord was present to heal. The power of the Lord was there. For a purpose, it was present to heal. That's what the Bible says. Now, I said that for a reason. These men and women that we read of in the Bible saw the physical Jesus. They heard him teach. They felt his touch. And they received gloriously. But you know what? The very power that made him who he was, the Spirit that enabled him, the Spirit that brought that healing virtue to him, has come to live in us. God's watching out for his children. He wants his children to believe what he said. He's watching out for his children to believe him. To believe what he said. If any man be in Christ, if any man, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That's powerful. Believe what is said. If any man be in Christ, if you are in Christ, anybody, he says, you are a new creation. He says, all things are passed away. They are passed. He didn't say they will pass away. He said, all things are passed away. This is a law. They're gone. They're not there. All weaknesses are gone. He says, and all things are become new. Then the next verse, he says, and all things are of God. So these things that have become new are not human. They're not ordinary. They are of God. Whereas your physical body was a house that could contain sickness and disease and infirmity of all kinds, now it has become the tabernacle, the temple of the Holy Ghost, the living tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. He has taken up his abode in your body. He dwells in your body now. You're hearing this? No sickness can reside there. No disease can stay there. No infirmity can be housed in your body. Refuse to give it permission. You keep saying, I refuse to have you here. I refuse to accommodate you. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter by what name it goes. I refuse to accommodate you in my body. If you have to say it 1,000 times a day, go ahead and do it. Just don't bow to it. Don't bow to it. Don't cave in. It could be a growth. And every time you look at it, it looks like it's getting larger. Put your hand on it and say, die! Because it came to kill you. It came for that purpose, to kill you. Now, who's going to listen to who? Oh, come on. So you're saying, hey, look who's king around here. It's me. So you put your hand on it and you say, die! Who would know whose words shall stand? You say, die! Doesn't matter where it is. If you can feel it on your body, put your hand on it. If it's inside and you can't touch it physically, put your hand over where it is and say, I command you to die and pass out of my body. Hallelujah. The word works. It says, the Spirit, the very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, has made a home in your body. He has made a home in your body. This is real. This is true. Take advantage of this reality. It's true. Christianity is no religion. He's made his home in me. Glory to God, he's made his home in me. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Then, you know, when you meditate on the word like that, oh boy, your spirit is stirred. Okay? Your spirit is stirred, stirred, stirred. And then, you learned something of releasing the anointing. Learning to act on the word anytime, anywhere, learning to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and take a hold of the power of God and make a release of it. You see that? Now, for many people, they think they got to wait and have the Spirit of God stir them up. They want something to happen first so that they can be set on course for it. So, for some people, they got to worship and then climb the spiritual high, you know. And then they go, and then they go, and then they go, and then they go. Then they can have a prophecy. But you can live in it. You see it? You can dwell there. You can function there. Every day. Every time. Never. You don't have to be like Elisha, who couldn't get a prophecy. There was hardly any time in the Bible where somebody came to a man of God and said, I wanted to hear what God said or what God had to do with this. And the man of God didn't have the word. Only Elisha had the problem. And what was the problem? He was bitter against the king. He was so bitter that he said to the king, had it not been for this other fellow here, I wouldn't even look at your face. That shouldn't come out of the prophet. That'll make you lose the anointing. You see, many people learn something there. They learn about, okay, you get the happiest to hap, and then the anointing will come. But that's not the point. That wasn't what God was trying to get across. There's a problem there. You don't have to get there. How many prophets needed it? How many prophets called a harpist? There are lots of prophets in the Word, in the Bible, but how many needed a harpist? So nice to learn that when the musician was playing, the anointing came on the prophet. But why wasn't it there in the first place? God put it there, ought to be there. And he didn't have it and was looking around for help. He was the only one. Among all the prophets, only Elisha had to look around for a musician and say, hey, you got to help me here. And God showed us what led to it. Not because there's a special anointing that's stirred by musicians, but because the man lost it. And he showed us how he lost it. He was bitter against the king. You don't get bitter. Because as a prophet, doesn't matter what anybody does, you can only exhibit holy anger of God. And then you must function within the ambits of God's word. It should never be personal. You remember Samuel the prophet? He almost got personal when the people rejected God and said, no, we don't want a king that we can't see. Make us a king that we can see. We want to be like other nations. Samuel was offended. He was so angry. He talked to the people, reprimanded them, rebuked them, and then prayed to God. And God said, Samuel, why are you angry? They haven't rejected you. They rejected me. Go ahead and give them a king. And then give them this warning from me. You see that? He said, why are you angry? They didn't reject you. They rejected. I'm the one who should be angry, not you. So he's trying to correct Samuel. I believe that's the same kind of correction he would have wished Elisha got. And Elisha had the opportunity to have learned that because Samuel came before Elisha. Praise God. So, the anointing of God has come to abide in our lives and to stay with us forever. Amen. Jesus said, the Spirit of God has come to live with us forever. He's come to stay with us. So every day we have constant touch. Hallelujah. Because we have become his headquarters. his center of operation. The king's business goes on at my house. Don't forget it. You write it down. Never forget it. The king's business goes on at my house. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You've taken a hold of God's word, and it's working for you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, you realize that when we take a hold of the word, we attract negative forces before we ever repel them. Did you hear me? If the word of God is in your life, Satan will come for it. Don't forget it. Remember the parable of the sower? The Bible says the sower went forth to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. It says the birds of the air came and picked them up. And what did Jesus say that was? He said, those that fell by the wayside are those who hear the word of God and don't understand it. And then it says, and Satan comes immediately to steal the word that was sown in their hearts, because it didn't go into the soil of the heart. It was on the surface. He says, Satan came immediately. So Satan is watching out for the word. When the word of God comes to you, Satan comes also. Didn't you notice? The first time the word of God came to Jesus openly, Satan came also. When the word came from heaven, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, Satan also came and said, if thou be the son of God, command the stones to be made bread. He challenged the word that came to Jesus. He goes for the word. So before you ever repel the devil, you would have invited him unknowingly. When the word comes to you about your life, about the glory of God in your life, about the power of God for your future, Satan comes immediately. What is his reason for coming? What's his purpose? To steal the word from you. To take it away from you. And he'll throw his darts at you. Pew, his missiles. If thou be the Son of God, pew, command the stones to be made bread. Ha! If you're a new creation, repair that pain. Oh, no, Lord Jesus. Then another one comes. Push. You thought you were commanding this to go. And while this sweating was coming out, another one's come out here. If you're a new creation, get the boys out of your body. Hoops. Then now, Lord, I think I need to lie down. No. You take out the shield of faith. The Bible says, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take out the shield of faith. If thou be the Son of God, command the stones to be made. Your shield of faith. He says, with that, you shall be able. I like the construction. He says, you shall be able. You won't need to cry to God, oh God, please help me. He says, the ability will be there. With that shield of faith, you shall be able to quench, to put out all the fiery darts of the wicked. Your shield of faith. What is faith? Faith is laying hold to that which we do not see. We know it exists in the word of God. We lay hold on it. I can't see it with my optical eyes. I can't feel it with my body. Oh, but I know it's there. Because the Word of God says it's there. I got the life of God in me. Oh, glory to God. Every fiber of my being, every bone of my body, I got it in me. And nothing will take it from me. So I trust it. I hold on to it. Paul said to Timothy, he says, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on it. Seize it. How do you lay hold on it? With your heart, with your spirit. You take possession of it. It's mine. I confess it. I declare it. I endorse it. I walk in the light of it. I only think that way. I function that way. My meditations are in that direction. I got the life of God in me. I'm no ordinary person. I got the life of God in me, traveling through my veins. I got the life of God in me, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet to the tips of my toes. I got the life of God in me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to let it go. The shield of faith, with which ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts, not some of them, but all of them. All the fiery darts. Ay, 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 ay. My. Sometimes, you know, the challenges come in the business, in the finances. And I was thinking, dear God, what am I going to do? Oh God, what steps do I take? There are people who feel alone. There's so much they would like to do, but they can't do because they need other people. That's the problem of living your life alone. Know what I mean by living your life alone? The people who don't know how to help other people. All their lives, all they knew was themselves. They don't know how to help other people. You come to a point in your life where you will be alone. Then you notice your wife can't help you. She has a limitation. The limitation is you. You are the problem. And both of you now can sit on the rocking chair and look into oblivion and just think it's all over. Then you start thinking old. A lot of big businesses in the world are still run by men who are past 70. A lot of them. Still run by men who are past 70. What was their secret? Their secret was in reproducing themselves in other people. See what I mean? But after you've lived your life for only you and the kids will grow up and go, remaining you and Madame. Then you know life's challenges have come. Because you have dreams now, but they can't come to pass. You would wish you could carry out your dreams through your children, but they got another mind. Because you see, you didn't raise them, you reared them. I don't know if you got that. There's a big difference. You raise people with a purpose, with a plan, with a future. But you were just growing a family. Now you've grown them, and they've gone. Oh, where is Johnny? Oh, he's gone to the USA. Where is Franca? In France. They are all over the place. What you have left is what's called memory. But that's not life. I believe life can be more exciting. That's what I believe. I don't think God put us here for a dull, dull life. Dull life. I don't like any dullness in my life. No, refuse to be dull. Have an exciting life. Let joy fill your heart. But joy can't fill your heart if business is not going well. You know what I'm talking about. You know, if money is not coming in. So many things can't work right. Okay? Except you put yourself in the right direction for God's blessings. Hallelujah. And then you find everything's working for you. That's how God wants you. He wants everything working for you. Everything. Everything that concerns you working out right. Everything. He doesn't like, you know, some people say, well, I can say that I'm 70% blessed. I can say that the Lord has taken charge of 80% of my life. He doesn't want to give 1% to the devil. He doesn't want anything out. He wants all. He wants everything about your life going cool. See that? Plan for that kind of life. Plan for it. Many people didn't plan when they were 20. They didn't plan for when they got to be 40. When they got to be 40, time took a hold and they were surprised. Oh, I'm 40. Can you imagine? Do I look like 40? And somebody said, no, you don't. Ah, I thought I didn't. Okay? Soon you'll be 60. Then you say, do I look like 60? Ah, no. You see, plan for your life. What's life going to be like for you when you are 40? Or when you are 50? Or when you are 60? What will you be like? If you don't plan for it, it'll come gradually. And then you wake up and say, where are the years gone? What happened? Don't you tell me I'm 65. And they say, honey, no, you're not. Where are the years gone? What did you plan to accomplish at age 30? What did you plan to accomplish at age 50? What did you plan to accomplish at age 60? Or 65? Or 70? What life did you plan to live at that time? If you didn't receive Christ early in your life, sorry for you about that. But thank God at least you're here now. You know, because, to receive Christ when you're young, fantastic. Yeah. The most wonderful thing in all the world. Because then you get to give the prime of your life to God. He says, train up a child in the way he should go. He didn't say train up a man in the way he should go. Train up a child. He says, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. You see that? So that can be a problem. No, imagine if these things that I've been sharing with you, imagine if you have believed them for 40 years. My goodness. No, think about it. Imagine if you've given so much time to the Lord, you believe these things for so long. That's it. They'll give you a mindset. The mindset of the just. Nothing shakes you. Nothing. Look at your hand, for example. Look at your hand. Can you see your hand? Now, when I was coming for this meeting today, I felt the anointing of God going through me again and again. Just traveling through me, okay? I felt it over and over, over and over, over and over. And I came up here. And then I just kept feeling it. Strong. Okay? Like currents of electricity. All right? Now, I'm not always conscious of that feeling. Because sometimes I don't feel it. Okay? But I do most times. Now, but you know, the Word of God doesn't talk about feeling it or not feeling it. All God wants you to know is that He is there. All right? He's there. But it does tell us something about what we have in us. Look at your own hand. Say this with me. This is God's hand. Stop. Now, I don't know whether or not you understood the meaning of that. You know, a few years ago, about 12 years ago, they were singing a song, but I believe most people didn't even catch the meaning of it. Probably those who even sang it, I don't know if they knew what they were singing. And they were saying, "My hands are blessed. My hands are blessed with the blessings of God. My hands are blessed with the blessings of God." And then they said, "Anything I touch surely must be blessed. Anything I touch surely must be blessed. My hands are filled with the blessings of God." Now, that's a nice song, but did they know the meaning of that song? Do you know that our confessions are laws in the spirit? Did you know that? Now, listen to this, because you've got to know how God operates. When you say a thing like this, "This is God's hand," do you know what happens? You think God just looks and says, "That's a nice talk." No, He doesn't. When you say that, the Holy Spirit acts upon your word. Because we are His extension. We are His hands. He cannot function on earth without us. And the moment you have that consciousness, is, "This is God's hand," then you put it on where you want the hand of God. Put it there. This is God's hand. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making it possible. Has medical science, maybe you want to have a child, has medical science said it is not possible? Maybe for a reason. Maybe. And I always like to tell people, don't get into trouble with this issue of trying to have children. To begin with, relax, you know, some people go, "Oh, The world is full of people. It's true. The world is full of people. You want to add more? Okay. But take it easy. Take it easy. Take it easy. Don't get into trouble as though that's all your life represents. Trying to have children. Some people just want to have children so their in-laws will know they're okay. Then we got some mamas and papas saying, all I just want is a grandchild. Give me a grandchild. That child's not going to always be a child. What you want is a toy child. Yeah, you know, the mama and papa, you know, they come of age. Children have grown and gone out. And so they want to play again. They want to feel like they felt when they were 30. Give me a grandchild. I want a child I can take care of. They are missing those children that have grown and gone. They're missing all the shouting that they were even angry about. They're missing it now. When all the little children ran around them, they loved it. Now they've grown and the children have grown. And they tried to make them smaller, but no, they grew. Now, those children don't even do everything daddy says. They don't do everything mommy says. And we wanted them to do everything we said. We wanted to reproduce ourselves in them, and then they came with their own minds. My goodness. I'm going to have me another child. But too old to give birth. So they say, now you've got to give me grandchildren. You see, and for how long are you going to play with them? Maybe in the next 6 years, 7 years, maybe? Then they grow up again and go again. You say, great grandchildren. Man never gets satisfied with anything because he's not sure what life should really be. They're like people who are on a journey and never know when they arrive because they didn't have a destination when they started out. What a life. Have you ever been there? Have you seen anybody who's journeying without an address? He says, I'm looking for somewhere. I'm looking for somewhere. Then you say, he slows down. Please, by the way, do you live around here? Yeah. I'm looking for, then while the guy he's talking, I'm looking for, he's still looking around. Obviously, he has no address. Sir, what number are you looking for? Somebody told me it's down this road. Somebody told me it's down this road. Just a moment. He's confused. But you see, many are in that way in life. No destination. They don't know when they arrive. No. Let God give you a dream, a vision, a plan, so you can be excited about your life. Amen. Amen. You can actually be excited about your life. You know when you have arrived. If you don't know when you've arrived, you'd not be joyful. You keep comparing yourself to your neighbors. They look happier than you. Every time you come out, there they are, just looking happy. They're always looking happy. Their friends are coming. And they're all looking happy. With all their nice clothes and nice cars and their houses renovated. But your house, when you come into your house, we have to pack out of this house. You wish you could pack out. Don't compare yourself to others because you don't know what their plan was. You don't know their journey. You don't know where it's supposed to end. When you're building, somebody's digging down and someone doesn't go down deep enough. He starts building and it's going up. You say, are you still digging? See, I'm almost roofing. Then you come by. He's almost roofing. And you are still digging. They can't understand why you're still digging. The reason you're still digging. You know it. Because the structure that you want to put up is going to be high. Hallelujah. I command the cancer to leave your body. In the name of Jesus. I command the pains to go. In the name of Jesus. I command the tuberculosis to go. In the name of Jesus. I command the pains in your jaws to go. The toothache to go. In the name of Jesus. Be healed in your eyes. Be healed in your ears. In the name of Jesus. Be healed in your bones. In the name of Jesus. Be cleansed in your blood. In the name of Jesus. Yes, be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Oh, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, receive healing. In the name of Jesus.